It's October 28th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 55 of Free to Play. I'm Brian Belita, and I'm wearing business socks. Tonight, I'm joined by Mark Bradshaw.
Sadly, I'm being forced from my apartment because of undisclosed PlayStation 4 things, so I'll be moving out in the process of this and living underneath a bridge. I think there's some bridges I can live underneath in New York City still, but this is all because of PlayStation 4. So
it's about time they refreshed the Billy Goat's Gruff fairy tale anyways. So maybe that'll be your livelihood from now on.
I was thinking of the troll that, like, or was that the same fairy tale?
Yeah,
the troll under the bridge?
Yeah,
okay.
The three goats. Yeah.
There has actually been a different troll underneath the bridge fairy
tale. Nope. Except for that one. Was that one in Witcher 2 under a bridge?
No, that was also Billy
Goat's Gruff. He worked on the bridge, but I don't think he lived there. He just got drunk there.
Okay.
There's also the fairy tale of the convicted child predators living underneath the bridge because they were forced from their homes.
Mark does live in New York.
That was also
Yes. We're also joined by Imran Khan.
This episode number is a palindrome.
Is it?
It's 55 forwards and backwards.
Sure, race car. I forget how the Niagara one goes.
Well, actually, like we're well past the time where we're never gonna have another palindrome year in our lifetime. But we've had two already.
We're pretty lucky.
Yeah,
I don't know how many most people usually have.
We can explain that to our grandchildren. I was there for the last palindrome year.
1991 and 2002. And we're not going to get another one until like 2112.
Yep.
I wasn't thinking about this. Now I'm thinking about this. And Matt Pierce.
And of course, it doesn't matter because numerology is bullshit.
Numbers.
Was it supposed to mean something? I thought it was just a cool thing.
Well, it's also a Rush album.
A cool thing. Yeah, we just look at that and like, ooh, neat, it's a palindrome. And other people are like, this means something, man.
Hear someone say neat without picturing like Spider-Man taking a picture.
Ooh, neat. The one that I love is when somebody posts up is like, this is the only time and for another 1,000 years that the date will be 01, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, or whatever. And then I'm like, that it's just as rare as like yesterday.
Whatever, man. That's all part of the Bible code. You just got to get in the code and all this will become obvious. Obama did 9/11. It's right there.
I was going to say, we blew our load on 11/11/11 with Skyrim.
Yeah.
Now there's like no significant dates ever again.
Nope.
Well, is anyone doing anything for 11/12/3?
What's 11?
Or 13, rather?
11/12/13.
That's a good question.
Is there like no game releases that day?
That's a Tuesday. So yeah, something should release then. Is that not like Call of Duty or some
Wait,
shit?
Did you?
No, Call of Duty's the 5th.
Did you just look at a calendar? Or are you like one of those people who? All right, I was born on May 3rd, 1984. What day was I born on, Mark?
Well, I have what's known as a computer, and if you have a computer, what you need is you can just click on the calendar. It's all just there.
Guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
VG Releases is not listing anything for the 12th.
Bullshit.
We need to make a game and put it out on 11, 12, 13.
Here's my question. It's like you have Call of Duty. You're releasing on the 5th. Why not just wait a week? You've got it. It'd be a historical event. You were never going to get this again. Why would you do this?
Remember the 5th of November?
But that's what, guys. Oh, yeah. Okay. So Guy Fawkes is the main star of Call of Duty 4, 5,
right.
7.
Is that what we're determining? What
we're going to come up with a really crappy game we can rush to market in time for 11, 12, 13.
Right. What would we call it? I don't know. Just we need a name. All right. We'll have a name by the end of this podcast.
11, 12, 13.
11, 12, 13.
What is called
your weird website, Paul, no, wait, and believe.
No, wait. We'll call it 14. Then we can say 14 comes on 11, 12, 13.
That's terrible.
We'll just call it the day. And they call it really mysterious hype for it.
That would have been a really good day for like Final Fantasy XIV's return.
Or a Dreamcast 2.
A 3DS 2?
No, Dreamcast 2.
Oh, Dreamcast 2.
Remember 2009, how everybody thought it was going to happen? It's like, you guys are insane.
Man.
Sega's got a megaton announcement. Megaton! More Sonic.
The new Sonic game came out, right?
Did it?
It's another year, so yeah.
It comes out tomorrow, I think.
Oh, okay.
Some reviews came out, and it was mediocre
mixed
at best.
It sounds like it's trying to do everything at once and not doing it well.
People liked the one previous to this, right?
Sonic Colors?
Yeah.
They liked it better than the ones before that.
I think the last one was Generations, but this is the Colors team.
Oh.
But Colors wasn't a giant flaming pile, right?
It was a good game.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're saying that in the early stages of this new game that it's a lot like Colors, and then it falls apart in the second half, and I didn't read too much to find out why.
Okay. DuckTales Remastered comes out... that's August. Never mind. Fuck that.
What did I think that was already out? Yeah.
No, they're moving a retail release. Oh, that must be what it is. It's the retail release is coming out the November 13th.
Video games.
Yep.
Have you... So speaking of... Imran, you went to some... What was the event that you went to this past... When was it?
There was Friday? The Xbox One Atlanta tour, and I went during the weekend.
Cool. And... Yeah, all I know is that you were tweeting some pretty good stuff.
Like, okay, so I decided to go there because I figured it was free, and why the hell not? And it was, I mean, in fairness, it's a pretty slick event. Like, there was no issues of waiting out in line for too long, or people just, you know, waiting for effort to get in. It was like 200 people, and it was a pretty big venue.
Were they holding, like, a bunch of these across the country? I mean, is it like a moving thing?
Yeah, there's a ton of them across the country, and I don't know what the deal was, but, like... Mine wasn't supposed to be till November 15th, or the one in Atlanta. Then all of a sudden...
Never mind.
The PS4 release date, basically. And I was like, fuck that, I'm going to have a PS4 anyway, so why do I need... I would not go into Atlanta on that day.
Right.
But for some reason, I got an email from GameStop. They were like, oh, we're inviting you to the Xbox event this weekend. I'm like, what? Really? I didn't know this was a thing.
I didn't know you had my email address, GameStop.
Yeah. So I decided to go there and... Took me forever to find because there's a bunch of road closures in Atlanta because they've got this smart car thing going there, which means that they shut down a bunch of streets which were like surrounding this one venue, which made it really difficult to get there. But it was nice. It was good weather, and the very first thing that happens when I go in there, like I'm waiting in line and I hear an Xbox event guy talking to one of the people in line, and I hear him say, "I've been to Rome and Rise is pretty accurate."
I didn't know there were so many scooters at Rise.
That's beautiful. Like, I mean, okay.
I assume what he means is, like, you know, I've been to the Colosseum, and, like, this Rise demo is, that's a lot like the Colosseum there.
What I'm just saying, architecturally, Rise's Rome looks like real Rome.
Well, wait, what if he's saying that Rome is terrible?
What if he's saying that he's been to Rome, and while he was there, there were centurions slaughtering each other left and right?
Ah, yes, the annual centurion slaughter.
Yeah, of course, that happens in Rome.
The problem is that there's very little in modern Rome that's left over from the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Does Rise? I know it's called Rise, Son of Rome, but does it even take place in Rome?
I mean, there's a Colosseum part, which is what I played.
Okay. So, you got to play some of it.
Yeah.
So, would you say you played it?
Do you want to go straight to Rise, or do you want to tell more jokes?
I have one. Would you say jokes? Would you say this rose to the occasion?
It rose to my expectations.
Did it roam onto your radar of things that you want?
Did it rise on your level of interest?
I'm trying to think of a good when in Rome joke, but I've got nothing.
You know what's hilarious?
Jokes.
Is that the last week's episode? We did the whole... Why instead of I thing, but I don't think we were talking about Rise at all, were we?
No, I think we mentioned
Rise,
like,
Facts.
We were talking about Rise Facts and added the fact that Crytek does that.
Crytek, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
If you want, we can talk about Rhino and China again. That's also a possibility.
No, okay. Never talk about China. Apparently she's teaching English in Japan.
Oh, good for her.
Who?
Yeah.
Also terrifying Japanese people.
Anyway, about Rise.
Right. Okay, so... Rise, let me find this part of my notes. Prettiest game of the show, easily. Like, that game looks really, really, really good.
Does it look next gen? Does it look like something you could not get on PS3?
It is the main thing there that I would say looks legitimately next gen.
Okay.
And so the thing they had us do was a multiplayer demo, but as far as I can tell, I was not actually playing against anybody.
Okay.
What it is, it's like a Colosseum thing where, like, they send, like, first is a wave of enemies, then it's a wave of enemies coming out of bunkers, so you have to toss oil and fire into their bunkers to keep them from coming out. It's like, there's no real spectacle to that. Like, I was expecting the Rise thing they showed at E3, where, like, oh, you're going through this area
right,
with
this
tons of people.
Dramatic set piece.
I just love how game developers will always find a reason to incorporate barrels and flaming
grenades.
Oil. Yeah, into a
some
game.
Some sort of grenade, lobbable weapon.
So as QTE-ish as Rise is supposed to be, that thing gave me, like, no QTEs, which is to its detriment because I had no idea how to push that thing of oil and fire into the bunker.
Well, and this was, you said it was a multiplayer demo thing?
Yeah.
So it sort of makes sense that there wouldn't be QTEs to some, yeah.
And I guess you're supposed to keep the audience, like, interested. So, like, there's a big thing on the top of the HUD that says, like, amused and disinterested and enraptured.
Okay.
But
style
for mine,
points.
It was stuck, and it would only stay on disinterested.
You just ripped some guy's head off, but I am disinterested.
I mean, it's a pretty good encapsulation of Rise.
Right, disinterested.
So I wrote down here, battle system was boring as hell. Press X repeatedly until attacked, executions for brain dead.
So not just like X and Y, or at least...
Like, Y is, I think, the strong attack, but I never really needed it. And A is the block move, but I never had to, like, turn towards an enemy to block. If he's coming, it was like Assassin's Creed style.
Yeah,
right.
Like if they're coming at you and you hit A, then you
360 block.
Yeah, which is like the most boring thing. It works in Assassin's Creed because that game isn't really about combat. But from my understanding, Rise is.
That's all we've seen, well, aside from the barrel rolling.
Did you get to play any of the single player?
No.
Okay.
It the controls felt kind of sluggish, like. I compared this on Twitter to trying to have a conversation with a baby.
I've tried.
Yeah. Like
have you tried?
Yes.
The baby doesn't know what you're really talking about. It just gets like the basic broad strokes.
And then it smiles.
Yeah. That's what Rise feels like. It's like, oh, he wants to go up. Okay, we'll just slowly saunter over there. Like, it feels like the game was conceived from bottom up as, you know what people love? Sick deaths. And there's plenty of that. There's, like, executions are hell's elaborate.
And Rome.
Well, talking to a baby is more like you talk and talk and talk. The baby just does whatever the baby's going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe baby will recognize one word that you say, and then it'll perk up a little.
That sounds like Rise. So
is the adult in this case, like, God of War, and the baby is
no,
Rise?
I think,
What it reminds me more of is, like, PS2 action games like Rygar.
Oh, yeah.
I think in this case, Rise is the adult part of the conversation, and Imran is the baby.
I guess
like Rise is kind of, you know, doing whatever I just want, and then maybe it says something, and Imran goes, "Oh, okay, I know this. I know that I could press X to rip a guy's head off," and then
so,
it
like,
just goes back to other shit happening.
The reaction to that game is what baffled me the most because everyone there loved it. That was like the only game that had a huge line, and everyone was like, "Oh man, Rise is so amazing! I can't wait to get this game. This is the game I'm getting with my Xbox." I'm like. Really? Does no one play the game? Maybe it's because I play more action games, or maybe just like.
Well, no, I think that that's. I mean, that's. I think that's actually 60% of gamers out there is the, I quote unquote those people.
Yeah, maybe Microsoft made a good idea building Rise to that audience.
Yeah.
The people who you set them in front of Bayonetta, they would just say, "This is stupid. It's a girl. I want to kill things."
They might look at Bayonetta and like really enjoy it for the spectacle quality, yeah. But they wouldn't like get too deep into it.
Now, like the audience here, did they seem like they were like connected gamers? They just seemed like random people who showed up. I mean, what are we dealing with?
It was actually a pretty interesting cross section of people because like. Everyone was the same age. Almost, like, everyone was pretty much my age, mid to late 20s.
Okay.
There was no one older or younger than that. But, like, racially, it's pretty diverse. Which was surprising to me. Like, I was surprised at how much, even across gender, there was a number of women who just went there to play games. Like, I didn't realize, like, the Xbox audience in America is apparently, like, reaches across gender and racial lines.
So we're seeing the Xbox is what's going to create unity within our fractured nation.
Well, I've been to Sony events, I've been to Nintendo events, and they're mostly pretty homogenous. Like, Nintendo events tend to have a few more women, but they're all mostly white people.
Right.
Sony events are all pretty much white guys.
So, like, if we could put, like, the budget, like, a new budget on, like, the 360 and just put that on there, like, maybe people would, like, get behind it?
Actually, that's what I feel like. That's what Microsoft should do. They should sell a really simple, dead small 360, and make money off that. Because I don't know. I'm not gonna say I'm not feeling the Xbox One. I feel more confident about it now than I did before I went to that event. But I'm also not rushing out to buy it.
Right.
How's
well,
the
obviously,
controller
is good. Go ahead.
Obviously, you don't feel confident from Rise, but so what did you see there that did you kind of increase your confidence about the Xbox One?
When I was going in, the woman there, she was at the door, she asked me, what game are you most excited for? And I said, I don't know, maybe Dead Rising. I said Dead Rising. Uh-huh. She said, yeah, that game was great. I loved Mexico. And it took me until about I got like maybe 5 or 6 minutes in, and I realized she thought I said Red Dead Redemption. Because there's nothing, like, maybe, I don't know.
It's a game that had the word dead in it. It's probably this one.
Dead Rising 2 took place in Vegas. Maybe Mexico-like?
Well, maybe this was spoiler. Maybe you go to Mexico.
Dead Rising
2
take place?
Maybe it's Mexico.
They played it in Mexico.
Maybe.
Maybe it's Mexico City.
It was just a complete non sequitur. Just like, yeah, that game was great. Also, I love Mexico.
Thanks, lady.
Maybe she thinks you're Mexican. It is just really racist.
So, Dead Rising, like, that was the game that bummed me out the most at E3 because it looked nothing like Dead Rising.
Yeah.
What is it like here?
I mean, okay, so actually sitting down and playing it, it is mechanically identical to Dead Rising 2.
Sure.
Okay.
Like, completely. So, that assuaged my fears on that end. There's no, like, Call of Duty nonsense.
How does it feel?
I mean, I don't see why they would change the kind of formula.
Well, what I worried is there would be way too many guns, and to an extent where the weapons they give you in the demo where there were a lot of guns, but they were like wacky guns. Okay. They were like, okay, now you have a shotgun barrel on each finger.
Hmm.
And you can just like aim forward and shoot out a line. Besides that, I can't really speak to the wackiness of it, but mechanics-wise, it seems just like old Dead Rising, so that's fine, but it's not. The part I played, at least, was not as colorful as I like Dead Rising to be. Like, Dead Rising has that Muzak quality to it.
Yeah.
Like, you're in this, like, really dinky mall that's brightly lit while dead zombies are chewing hands and screaming up brains.
Right,
and
there's a toy shop, yeah.
Yeah. And that I didn't really feel with this one so much.
Pretty black and brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dead Rising is the last series on the face of the earth that should take itself seriously.
I don't feel it might not be taking itself seriously. Like, I've seen trailers with, like, you know, wearing your underwear and a mask and, you know, going around slicing up zombies. And that's
I was going to say, it's weird. It doesn't. I've seen some things where it is pretty goofy and silly.
But it doesn't seem to have the right art style for that.
But, though. Right, the art style and the art direction doesn't seem to match that. At least from what we've seen.
Did you guys see the really bad Dead Rising 3 product placement in The Walking Dead?
No.
Whoa.
No.
So there's a zombie in The Walking Dead that's wearing like a mechanics uniform, and the characters point him out occasionally because he's Nick the zombie. So they keep saying, oh, Nick is so special. Look at Nick. Look, his dog tags say Nick. And they close it on pictures the children drew of like Nick the zombie. And it wasn't until Mike Lemieux explained this to me that during the commercials for Walking Dead, they point out that Nick the zombie is actually Nick from Dead Rising 3.
That's so fucking weird.
It's really, really bad and awkward.
So, like this is just like a zombie that they've kind of grown fond of.
Now,
I haven't seen season 3 of Walking Dead, so
they do kill him and stop talking. So it was mainly like the first two episodes that they were really like pushing this whole Nick the zombie thing.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. It's like you're talking about The Walking Dead, and this Nick the zombie, he's already gone, right?
Yeah.
So Dead Rising 3 is not coming out for like another month, right?
I don't think maybe he dies in Dead Rising 3, but I don't think it's spoilers necessarily. They just want to associate Nick the zombie in your head.
Yeah.
It's the Nick the zombie franchise.
That's another thing. Like, maybe it was just a demo, so I wasn't really. I don't have any sense of who Nick is as a character. Well, I don't feel the same way about Frank or Guy from Dead Rising 2, whose name I've forgotten. So maybe that's to say something.
Motocross guy.
Yeah.
Gene? Gary?
No. Let's go with Gary.
Like, the entire time you were there, he was just screaming, like, oh god, oh god, oh no, zombies, ah! And it's like, dude, you have, like, an electric hammer that you're killing thousands of zombies with.
He built a freaking motorcycle with, like, a steamroller on the front of it. Like, just this giant concrete roller.
Like, I get what they're going for. Like, hey, I'm coming across a bunch of zombies, but I don't feel that part necessary. And... okay, so the thing I wrote down here is that when I came away with the demo, or came away from the demo, my main thought was it feels like next Dead Rising rather than next gen Dead Rising.
How many like zombies were on the screen? Noticeably more than the previous games?
There were a ton of zombies, but it also didn't change that much because there's already a ton of zombies and right. The weapons you have like are already equipped to deal with all those zombies. Like there's no huge revolution in what that number of zombies means.
Well, it was weird because the first Dead Rising seemed to be like the one showpiece with 360. It's like, yeah. Look at all these zombies! This is incredible!
Yeah.
And like, does it feel like they're doing the same thing with this one? Or is it a noticeable jump in the number of zombies on screen?
It looks okay. It just...
yeah.
There's a bunch of zombies, and like for the first time you see it, like, hey, that's a bunch of zombies. But after that, it's like,
yeah.
That doesn't really matter so much because I'm not going to jump right into a horde.
Like after 5 feet of zombies, it's not going to matter.
I haven't seen them like they're not like touting, you know, Dead Rising 3 has 400% more zombies.
That's because they've been trying to get the frame rate was fine on this one, but at E3 it was really bad, so they can't really tout that many zombies if they have to take some away.
Well, and
the thing
and,
I find
I mean,
funny is if, that if you're playing the game, there's no way you're looking at the horizon to see how detailed those zombies are. You know, there's the ones in front of you you have to deal with, and the rest of them may as well just be dots.
Well, like with the weapons in the previous Dead Rising games, I felt they went pretty outlandish. So it's not like they're going to introduce... I mean, I'm sure they will introduce new weapons, but nothing that, I don't know, will handle more zombies at a time. But what if they went the route of, like, Saints Row 3, or a 4, rather? Like you're, I don't know, you're a guy who somehow comes across. No, but yes, well that too. But you know, somehow your character
you actually could do that in Dead Rising 2.
Moderate superpowers and can handle zombies with that. That would be.
So, I will say one part of this that was really fun and actually the zombie count impacted was that there was a big fountain in the middle of the park and
shot
I just
zombies so it's like overflowing with zombies instead of.
Well, yeah, there was a bunch of zombies around it. And I noticed there was a briefcase on top of the fountain, so I climbed up there. And inside the briefcase was money and, like, a shotgun next to it. So I figured, okay, I'm going to stand up here Evil Dead style and just, like, shoot zombies as they climb up here. And that might be something that, like, that may be the one big moment from that demo that I really enjoyed. Because it was like, okay, this is where having a lot of zombies makes a big difference.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, I don't feel that necessarily... I don't know, it's hard to say without actually playing the final game, but... I don't feel that item durability has gone up in proportion to the number of zombies that are in the game. So I ran out of that shotgun quickly.
So what we're seeing is actually too many zombies.
That could be the case. Like, I don't know that if I have an axe, am I going to be able to get through the same number of zombies I got through in Dead Rising 2? Because that's going to be like that's half a horde, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah,
is that coming to PC or?
They said Microsoft is publishing it, so it wouldn't exist, quote-unquote, without Microsoft, but
yeah.
Also it's Capcom, and they're going to port it to everything under the sun if they feel like it.
Did the second one, Dead Rising, get to PC?
Yeah.
It did, yeah.
That's where I played it. Which is part of, I don't know, that may be one of the reasons I'm not feeling Dead Rising 2 as much, is because the idea of, oh, this high-resolution, high-frame-rate Dead Rising, it's like, oh, I had that years ago. That's nice. All right, so... the thing I played after that was Crimson Dragon.
What's
which
Crimson
is,
Dragon?
It's Panzer Dragoon.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Like, just except explicitly Panzer Dragoon.
Lower frame rate than the original Panzer Dragoon.
So that's what's weird to me. So I didn't take video of what I played, but I played an Ice Caps level that was, I mean, very reminiscent of Panzer Dragoon and Star Fox and all that stuff. And that seemed fine. Then I look over next to me, and there was a unit that was like 10 to 15 frames per second. At a different level. So I took video of that, which at last I checked had like 4,000 views on YouTube. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So that one was going so terribly low, and like the head of XBLA like tweeted me, it's like, yeah, that was probably just a debug unit. And I'm like, you guys need to really look at that sort of thing, because that's not a good excuse for a demo event.
To be fair, I've seen like demos randomly glitch out and do stuff like that on my PS3.
Yeah.
So like I don't think it's the game. I think it's probably Like, I don't think the game normally plays that way.
I don't think the game is in any way going to ship like that, but that was a really bad, like, I saw a dude playing it. I'm like, how are you playing this? He's like, yeah, it's fine to me.
This is like the, what they're showing to the public. This is when they need to put their best foot forward.
Right.
And this is all they can put out.
That's when they need to turn around and say, oh, looks like this thing crashed. Better restart it and see if that fixes it. Instead of letting people play it in shitty quality.
And then just kind of be like, oh, well, sorry, we don't know what's going on, but...
Looks like this one's out of order, and then hang an out of order sign on it.
And have it run video, maybe. So
all
this,
done.
Was this playable with the controller, or were you stuck with the Kinect? Okay.
It was only controller. There's a Kinect option, but like 99% of things where there are Kinect options, they did not actually let you use Kinect.
Okay, thank God.
I did see a couple of broken Kinects, or Kinects that weren't working, and it's funny because there's three red lights on the front. I'm like, wow, you guys really didn't learn anything about, like, symbology in marketing, did you?
At least they weren't arranged in a circle. It's just three independent dots.
And it's to answer your question from earlier about who's developing it, it's the former Panzer Dragoon team.
Oh, okay. That's very encouraging.
Yeah. Like,
that's like the best news for the Xbox One I've heard yet.
I don't know. Like, this is not supposed to sound like a bad thing, up to interpretation, but the way it felt like to me was it feels like a PS2 game Square would make.
Yeah, okay.
Where, like, you know, there'd be, like, this anime character, like, or not anime, but, you know, a clearly Japanese design character telling you orders while you're shooting things down. It's like, okay, now you need to fight these mutated bugs.
Now, here's the problem. I'm going to assume that by Panzer Dragoon, it's an on-rail shooter without a whole lot of anything else in between, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure you can sell that on a disc for $60.
It's not on a disc for $60. It's $20 on XBLA.
Then that is perfect. Yes. Okay. That's terrific. I wish now that was on the 360, because now I'm kind of bummed.
It was once, and it got delayed 2 weeks before release, and then it reappeared on Xbox One.
God damn it.
Right.
All right. So after that, I played Loco Cycle.
Oh, that's the one where you're just being dragged behind the motorcycle, right?
That's Twisted Pixel's new game. And you can tell it's Twisted Pixel because it's actually kind of funny. Like, from what I can gather, the human, I forget his name, I think it was Pedro, is a mechanic that was fixing, like, a secret, top secret government vehicle.
Is this somehow tied to Dead Rising 3?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
And at some point, the government vehicle, like, motorcycle just drags Pedro along, and she's cracking jokes all the time with, like, he says something and she starts talking about snow cones. And it's kind of funny, but it's after about like 5 minutes of it, I'm like, wow, there's not a whole lot more to this game, is there? Like,
I mean, do you have any control over the speed? Or
yeah, you control speed, direction, weapons, and like.
So is it like a racing game, or what do you do in this? I mean,
stationary road rash.
The analogy that came to mind was the, you know, those sections of Sonic Unleashed where you're moving forward and there's like enemies in front of you when they're blasting lasers at you and stuff like that.
So it actually is gameplay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's definitely fun for those 5 minutes, but after that it started to get kind of boring because enemies took a lot longer to kill than I would want it to. Like, you go up to there and you can use a melee button to combo them, and it's kind of funny to see the first time, and then takes like way longer than it should the next couple of times. But my issue with the game is I think it's a little uncomfortably racist.
Oh, how's that? With the guy Pedro being dragged behind the motorcycle?
Yeah, the Hispanic auto mechanic that's like only speaks Spanish, and he's like begging the motorcycle to let him go, and that, oh god, he's not really involved in this, please let him out. It's like, okay, this is getting kind of uncomfortable.
Because we know the sort of people who will find this game enjoyable, and they're awful, awful human beings.
There's a lot of like...
And there are probably a lot of them down in Atlanta that day, I imagine.
I don't know. There's a very Border Patrol feeling to that game.
I see.
It's like, okay, laugh at this funny Mexican. It's like okay, we all grew up on Speedy Gonzales and stuff like that, and it wasn't until you were like in your 20s you're like, wow, Speedy Gonzales is really fucked up.
Yeah, you never hear from Speedy Gonzales again, by the way. That's just, it's gone.
They took him out of rotation because Speedy Gonzales is really fucked up.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of feeling I got about this. It's like, am I laughing at this because this poor guy's in a bad situation, or am I laughing at this because this poor Mexican guy's in a bad situation? Would it be as funny if he were white?
What else has Twisted Pixel done other than Explosion Man and Miss Explosion Man?
Gunstringer? Beyond that, I don't know. They made
That was the puppet one, right?
Yeah, the Kinect puppet game.
Those weren't the Death Spank guys, were they?
No.
No, that's... I forget what that
They is. Had Ron Gilbert, but... that was not Twisted Pixel. Twisted Pixel is a Microsoft first party.
Yeah.
These are the guys that Giant Bomb Crew is really huge on for whatever reason.
Because they make FMV games.
Explosion Man. Oh, Comic Jumper and The Mall.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing The Mall, and it just looked, I don't know.
I feel like Explosion Man is the only game they've made that's actually been good and fun to play.
Right.
Like, the rest of them have that, oh, man, this is really funny and fun for 5 minutes thing, and then it's like, oh, well,
now,
okay.
Is Loco Cycle something they're selling? Like
XBLA again.
Okay, well, good. So how much XBLA stuff was there?
There was like a little section of XBLA stuff, which included Loco Cycle and Crimson Dragon, and also this next game, Max and the Magic Marker.
So is this just another iteration of this game, or is it a sequel? Or
I haven't played the first game, so fill me in if this is like, you know, different. But to me, it seemed like a colorful Limbo.
Okay.
Like, you're going through and like, oh, well, that platform came out of nowhere and just killed you. But you restarted right before it, so now you can try again.
I honestly haven't played it either.
Oh, okay. But it seemed like Limbo, except you had a marker. And maybe it was just like the beginning of the game that's like that, and maybe as you gain marker powers, it's different. But basically, there's just, you go forward and there's big glowing sections that you use the marker on, and then you platform around.
How do you control the marker? Just use the analog stick?
You press right trigger, and then that brings the marker out, and you use the left analog stick, and you max stands completely still.
Yeah, it seems really awkward.
It is. I mean, it's an adaptation of what their original thing was on the Wii, where you just pointed the remote at the screen.
Yeah, it sounds like it really needed a Wiimote or a mouse or something. Or like that's what it was meant for.
Or a camera that's sold with every system. Maybe that.
Maybe. Like, yeah, I don't know if that was a Kinect-enabled game or not. But, like, I got far enough that they gave me a new magic marker power to draw out tree branches. And none of the things they did with the tree branches were particularly interesting. Like, you draw them out and it's like, okay, now I can climb up this or climb up that. And it felt like all the really interesting puzzle-solving stuff I was doing was stuff I was making myself. Like, oh, I could do this a really simple way, or I could build a branch with a curve and just, like, climb up it myself.
Like Scribble Knots.
Yeah. But that game did not at all look like the do you remember last year at E3, the Max and the Magic Marker reveal trailer?
Yeah, this really slick rendered trailer.
It looked like a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Was it like the new Grimdark Max? That one?
It's not really Grimdark. It was colorful. It was fuzzy. But it, like that thing looked like CG, and this looks like a 360 game. Which, I mean, it's an XBLA game, so not surprising, but it does not look like what they promised that reveal trailer would look like.
This is my problem now, because you say it looks like a Nickelodeon cartoon. I'm like, does that mean Dora, or does that mean Bubble Guppies?
Well, no, it looked like a Nickelodeon cartoon, and like, I'm trying to think
I mean, there's a huge range of quality to Nickelodeon cartoons. So do you mean,
I'm trying to remember the name of that CG cartoon with the guy with the red hair. He's like Johnny something.
Jimmy Neutron?
That was it.
Okay.
That's what it looked like now to me in the reveal trailer. But in practice, it looks like New Super Mario Brothers.
Oh.
With like more elaborate backgrounds, but I don't know. It didn't really do anything for me. Let's see. I played Zoo Tycoon. I have here two things. One is horrible frame rate.
Really?
Zoo Tycoon.
Yes.
Zoo Tycoon.
Not crack the Zoo Tycoon code at this point.
There's two things to Zoo Tycoon. There's one where like you can just walk around the actual park, and that has like easily 15 frames per second. It's really bad.
Does it look nice at least?
No.
I keep hearing Zune Tycoon.
Well, yes, that's what it is. A Zune Tycoon. What do you think it's
called? Well, you play as Jay Allard trying desperately to make Zune a thing.
Make the Zune work.
And when you're actually in like the overhead stuff, like the frame rate's just as bad. And like when I sat down, there was a thing that said, like, the screen only said giraffes. And I was like, I don't know what this means. So I, like, moved the cursor around and said, mission failed. I was like, did I fail giraffes?
Silly Imran, those were elephants.
This is the podcast where we learned Imran doesn't know what a giraffe is.
All I did was move the cursor.
So the thing I find funny about you,
like the giraffe.
You didn't move
you
it
having
like
so many frame rate problems is that apparently Harold Lee went to one of these events and one of the marketing people gave him like the biggest BS line about how the power of the cloud means that all Xbox One games will run at 60 frames per second. Which isn't even remotely true in any way.
Yeah, they're not even balanced to play at 60 frames per second.
Yeah, like that's not even the target frame rate for a lot of these games. They want to do 30 so they can do better visuals or more movie-like visuals.
Or the timing will be correct because a racing game at 60 when it's needed to be at 30 is going to be all fucked up. But anyway.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, A, cloud processing is not going to give you a higher frame rate. And B, that's 60 is not even a goal for most developers at this point.
No, cloud does everything, man. Have you not been listening to Microsoft for the past 2 years?
Anything from SimCity?
Cloud fixes everything.
The cloud is important.
So I also wrote down here, did six jumps.
And
did six jumps?
Not six jumps, six jumps.
Oh,
yes.
Six jumps.
Is this because, like, there's that, like, game? Or
there's that third person part. And you can get into a golf cart, and some of these statues around there are ramp-like in shape.
I was going to say, can you race the animals? I mean, like...
No, like, you can't do anything with the golf cart except get places. Like, I tried to run into people, and it just, like, or either moves them to the side or does nothing. So I stopped like a minute, like, backing up and hitting these people at the hot dog stand.
Can you launch the golf cart into the monkey cage?
Stop reading.
The ramps didn't actually lead anywhere. They just kind of, like, gently crash against the wall and just, like, move down.
All I'm saying is they had the opportunity to make, like, a Tony Hawk game using golf cart, and instead they made Zoo Tycoon.
I want to see this game now. I want to see... Longboarding Zookeeper, the video game, where like you travel between the different, you know, animal enclosures on your skateboard doing sweet tricks.
Yeah, you just have to design the zoo to that, because like, yeah, if you design it wrong, then the lion's going to get out of the cage and kill you. But if it's too safe, you don't get good points. So, yeah, they work.
They should really mix Zoo Tycoon and Prison Architect.
Yes, yes. Combination prison zoo. The cost-cutting measures have swept across the U.S. government. They've had to combine zoos and prisons.
Put the lion in the hole.
We're going to keep you in the shark tank. But unfortunately, they forgot to put water in there, so the shark is flopping around. Prison's just stabbing it.
So next thing I played was Peggle 2.
So the prisoner just walks up and like shanks a great white shark on his first day.
Yeah,
got intimidated. All right, sorry. So what did you play him on?
Peggle 2.
Sweet necklace. Anyway.
Oh, Peggle 2.
Yeah.
How are they only on 2 at this point?
That's a really good question.
I think the better question is why Peggle 2 is exclusive to the Xbox One for a while.
Well, Microsoft.
Well, yeah, I mean, right? But it's such a weird game to like Money Hat.
Yeah, the stupid thing about it is Peggle's not a game. It is just chance. You're just dropping a ball and hoping it lands in the right
place. There's a skill involved.
There's no fucking skill involved.
If you have a grasp of the physics in the game, you can do pretty decent things. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it is a lot of it is just like, what's the word I'm looking for? Positive reinforcement. Yeah. That, well, oh my god, I didn't intend to do this, and this got
colors, lights. Yeah. Well, no, it's. I mean, it's not like it's a.
It's Blinko.
Right. It's not exactly a game that required. Many, many years of development because they needed to figure shit out. They needed to come up with these devious puzzles.
You know what it needed, though, was the power of the cloud.
Well, it's after what happened with Plants vs. Zombies, I'm interested to see what happens with Peggle 2.
I mean, it didn't seem like freemium or anything. It just, like, there was the demo was only for one character, this, like, goth girl. And when she turns, like, her power is she can turn into a ghost. And then all the pegs that you hit already are back, except they're, like, translucent, and you can just go right through them. Ghost so you get the score for them again, but, like, you can just slide right up past them.
Hmm.
So it was neat, but, I mean,
yeah.
I'm just going to wait for that game to come into iOS or Android. I don't want to sit in front of a TV and play Peggle.
Whatever, man. If you want me to buy one of your stupid, like, puzzle games, just make Alchemy 2. It's the only one I care about. PopCap. Get on it.
There was this really neat, like, marble contraption puzzle game. It was called, like, Da Vinci's... man. I'm blanking on it, but it was really, really pretty. And they should make another one of those. Actually, the developers of the original The Incredible Machine are making... have a new game on Early Access on Steam right now. I think it's just called Contraption Maker or something. It's on my wish list. I played so much Incredible Machine.
I forgot I wrote this down for Forza. But the very first thing is game about cars.
Forza 5.
Ah, excellent.
Because that's all I really know. Like, Forza is a game about cars. I think it's 5. This is the fifth Quartza game.
I'm lucky what I hear so far. It has cars. Okay.
It made me a believer in the vibrating triggers.
Oh, really?
So, like, if you don't know, the Xbox One controller has, like, the shape is a little different because now the triggers touch the LB and RB buttons. And it actually works out really well.
Mm.
But the triggers themselves vibrate during certain games. And for Forza, like, it was, like, a very vague sort of force feedback.
Right. Like, I'd tell you when, like, you're...
I mean, it like, I'm not sure it added anything gameplay-wise, but it felt more like driving a car than, say, Gran Turismo did.
Okay, I can bet you they have, like, a definite gameplay effect, because if you're using, like, with the brakes, you can tell when your brakes are about to go, because they give it a little bit of, like, waggle.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Sounds
like,
you know,
off-road that, like, it started, like, vibrating a lot.
Yeah, it should because give you an idea of when you're starting to lose grip.
Yeah.
So the game I was thinking of was just called Marble Drop, and it was actually by Maxis.
Hmm. Also for Xbox One.
So, so Forza, a best-looking game in terms of resolution, because, like, all these things, they had us, like, standing, like, a foot from the TV or sitting a foot from the TV. So a lot of stuff looked a lot fuzzier than it will, like, in an actual home environment. But Forza, that's clearly 1080p. It looks really good.
So wait, they're not just 1080p across the board?
No.
But
some of, like, 920 sad. Or some shit.
Forza is supposed to be the big exception.
But how'd the frame rate look? Did it feel like 60 frames a second?
It looked and felt fine.
Okay.
Did it look significantly better than the 360 version?
It's hard to say, because Forza has always been a really good-looking game. But yeah. To me, like, at a certain point, for me, cars tend to get, like, a diminishing value. Because those things, like... I feel like we hit the zenith of how cars look, at least to a layman, in this generation.
Yeah. Well, the problem with, like, graphics in, like, a racing game, things are going by too fast for you to really pay attention to the graphics. It's like you're watching, like, 50 feet in front of you. You don't really have time to sit there and just take in how amazing the reflections are, or, like, the single blades of grass in the infield. So,
yeah.
It looks really nice in, like pictures, but that's it.
I really wanted to back out and, like, actually take a look at the car, but I could not figure out how to get out of cockpit view.
I'd ask you what kind of car it was, but you would have no idea what kind of car it was.
It was white. That's all I know.
I'm going to go with a Mazda.
It actually might have been.
The only thing that's really disappointing me about Forza 5 is that, okay, I've only seen a little bit of gameplay footage, but when you're actually playing the game, it doesn't look significantly different from Forza 4. And it's basically the same thing.
Which means it doesn't look significantly different from Forza 3.
Yeah.
I mean, that either speaks to how really good the previous Forza game looked, or
and
that
they were
this
good.
Is a smaller leap. Like, I remember when I first saw Project Gotham Racing 3, I think, the 360 one, that looked, it blew everything on the Xbox out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't get that same feeling with the Forza, or the new Forza.
Yeah, that game looks
incredible. Things are going to hit a plateau at some point.
Well, once you like create a convincing looking car, and then you get a, like, high resolution, and then get the frame rate right, there's not a whole lot else you can do, because the detail in the track isn't really going to matter that much.
Yeah, as long as the track looks good enough.
Yeah.
And I then guess, in the, like, replays, the cars look good too.
I guess in, like, the number of cars you can put on the screen, but, like, more than, like, 8 is going to create problems just, like, gameplay wise, just getting through them, because they're all sociopaths. So.
Yeah. Like, you'll notice the Gran Turismo 6 advancements that they've been touting are things like, we now have higher range in our high dynamic range lighting. You know, stuff that you wouldn't necessarily...
Range.
Well, the apparently 50 times or something.
That's a high range, all right.
What they're saying is they could, you know, have darker tunnels and brighter sunlight, and it's not going to cause issues.
What the fuck is this? Moby Games got a visual upgrade? It no longer looks like it's from 1998.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm sorry. I was looking back at stuff about this Marble Drop game, and one of the screenshots was at Moby Games, and it no longer looks like a really old website.
It no longer looks like a GeoCities. It looks like something designed in 2002.
Okay, I know where you're gonna say, Matt. All right.
Yeah, all right. Say, it doesn't look like a really old website, but it still looks like an old website.
Yeah, it looks like an old website. Yeah. Okay.
So, did you get hold of a Killer Instinct?
I did.
How does that look?
They let you play against people, and it looks nice.
How does it play?
So, for better or worse, it plays exactly like old Killer Instinct.
Oh, that's a shame.
Like, I literally thought in my head, I wonder if I could just mash buttons really fast. And then the character I was playing, who was Glacius, just pulled off a shitload of combos and special moves.
You see, that's not entirely accurate because that's not how the original Killer Instinct played. The original Killer Instinct was actually kind of bad at that because you were supposed to, like, basically input, like, codes for, like, entire combos. It's like, where, like, if you threw a fireball in, like, Street Fighter, it'd be, like, quarter circle forward. To do a combo in, like, the Killer Instinct games was, like, a 20 command input, and you just sit there for the next 30 seconds and wait for it to finish.
And not only that, the original, like, the Killer Instinct 2 combo system actually had a system to it. Like, they used the 6-button Street Fighter layout, and you had to go heavy, medium, light, and then repeat over and over again.
See, that's what I did, because, like, we were playing on a controller, so it's, you know...
Kind of sucked.
Yeah, it was, like, the two face button, or two of the face buttons were two of the punches, and, like, the other punch was, like, a trigger or something like that.
Oh,
it was, like,
the worst.
Yeah. So I just kept, like, because of Marvel vs. Capcom 3, my go-to in any game is, like, 3 buttons in a row.
Right.
Because that will, like, that produces something. So I would, every time I felt like I was in danger, I would just do that thing, and, like, Glacius would just produce a combo that ended with, like, a bunch of ice coming out.
Terrific. How's the D-pad on that controller, by the way?
It's a lot better. It's not garbage.
Okay. That's encouraging.
Yeah, I would compare it probably to the Vita's D-pad. Like, in terms of, like, accuracy of movement, not necessarily in terms of shape.
What would you compare it to if you wanted to compare it to something somebody else has used?
let's see. If you took the circular stuff away from the Genesis D-pad, it feels like that.
Okay. The Genesis are the finest D-pad ever made. It's high praise.
Well, I reckon the Genesis had the finest D-pad of any controller of all time.
It was the greatest D-pad ever on the greatest pad ever.
Colonel Bradshaw here.
Look, man, I got my controllers.
I mean, but it looked nice. I wish they had more characters, because the only people I remember from Killer Instinct are Bee Orchid and Fulgore, and neither of them were in that.
Well, what's so the fucking...
Was there anything that you're like, holy shit, next gen about? I feel like this is the first time where, like, you know, PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3, it was like, whoa, fucking Uncharted, holy shit.
Well, that looks great. Because PlayStation 2 was so terrible. So.
I mean, is there anything that... I feel like this is the first generation where there's just... It just feels like more games.
Yeah, what's so, the argument?
It part of the feel problem, like new games.
Part of the problem here is that this is the first generation where I've had a capable PC as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that leap is not as big to me. And I feel like that's one of the reasons that next-gen games don't wow me right now, is because the idea of, like, oh, really sharp textures and 1080p and 60 frames per second, it's like, okay, I've been doing that for years. What else do you have?
You've been getting those upgrades throughout the lifetime of the PS3.
And yeah. Which is what a lot of people said when the 360 was new, too.
Right, which, I mean, at that point, the thing I owned for the 360 was, like, a Wii and, you know, a PS2 and all that. So that one, that leap was huge to me.
Well, then again, I would say, like, the 360 didn't really make its argument until way later. It's like the PlayStation 2 from PlayStation 3 was enormous because the PlayStation 2 was a lower tier of that console cycle. It's like the jump from the first Xbox to the 360 wasn't as enormous.
Well, I mean, like, I'd say it was the jump from the Xbox to the 360 was pretty enormous, and it made that argument with games like Dead Rising and Oblivion. And then you compare it to, say, let's take a first-person game and Dead Rising again, for example. I don't feel that leap is made the same way. Like, if you compare Battlefield 3 to Battlefield 4 and Dead Rising 2 to Dead Rising 3, there's not... Yeah. There's differences, and, like, even a layman would be able to tell those differences, but not a layman... A layman wouldn't necessarily be impressed by them.
I think I think it's telling that that so much of this stuff is cross-generational. It's like, it's hard to imagine anything in Call of Duty... The next Call of Duty is going to be noticeably different because you can do it on all the systems.
Well, no, and that's one of the reasons I'm kind of almost glad that we're reaching this graphical plateau, because people are paying more attention to art direction.
I mean, mind you, this is like the launch stuff for Xbox One.
Yes.
And like in 5 years, 4 years, it's going like compare Cameo to the shit we have now.
Or even, like, when we finally see Titanfall in person. That could be fucking mind-blowing.
Which I was really disappointed that wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, Okay, so I have to at least get this one. For Kinect Sports, I wrote down one thing, which was fuck Kinect.
Was it not working very well?
I've never used a Kinect before for a game. Mm-hmm. I've used it for UI before, and I was like, okay, this is kind of neat. I can see why some people would be into this. For Kinect Sports, I had a wave race game. And the thing is, you have to hold your arms out like, you know, you're holding a jet ski, and you pull one arm back to turn right, and you turn the other arm back to turn left, and you lean harder to turn sharp corners. Then the weirdest thing is, like, you stop and, like, pull your hands to your sides like you're powering up, like in DBZ,
okay,
to do a special move.
What?
It's like, I will say 30% of the time, the things I wanted it to do, it actually did.
That's like, hey, one out of three ain't bad.
I'm no stranger to motion controls. I'm used to them in games. I feel like this is the least accurate motion control method I've ever used.
And this is the new Kinect.
Yeah.
Not to sound like the snotty game guy, but I'm going to be the snotty game guy for a second. For the crowd that uses the Kinect, 30% accuracy is probably all right, because those people aren't terribly concerned about playing a video game.
I don't know. I saw a lot of people get frustrated playing that thing.
That's encouraging. That's really
also the sort of people who would show up to video game launch event.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think Microsoft did a terrible job continuing Kinect momentum. Like, Kinect itself was one of the fastest selling consumer electronics devices in this of all time, I guess. Yeah. But they didn't capitalize it. There were no games. Were shitty.
I gotta say this about Kinect, though. The wave of quote unquote hardcore gamers who were all excited for Kinect but had shit on the Wii for years before that.
Oh, that was glorious. Yeah.
That was amazing, because they rationalized their way into buying a Kinect because that's what real games with motion are like. Then the games are terrible anyway.
You know what was holding it back was holding something in your hand. It's like buttons.
Yeah. I think it was telling that for the menu to restart races and all that, they had a controller hooked up.
Of course. You could just like tell the Kinect's a menu.
Also funny that Kinect Sports Rivals, which is this new game, has controller options for every game.
Yep.
Yep.
Best of both worlds, I guess. Who makes that? Is that a first party game?
That's Rare.
Okay.
Well, that's... I think.
Yeah, but who makes it?
But I'm... So, real quick, Skylanders is really nice looking. Like, that was a really graphically impressive game. So, I think games that have, like, that Nintendo-like art style will probably look really nice there.
Sure.
It's cool. And they have cool monster design. I
mean, yeah.
Like, cel-shaded shape games on this could be, like, really amazing.
Yeah.
This is Skylanders, like, Swap Force?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's only one cel-shaded game announced for next gen, like Lily Bergamo. And that looks really good. We haven't seen it in motion, but the screenshots are nice. Battlefield 4, I unwittingly entered a tournament, and then I died within 4 seconds.
Sounds like Battlefield to me. Did you know what killed you?
No, I think it was a sniper, like, hiding in the grass.
It was a gun. I guarantee it was a gun that killed him.
But I sat there and watched, and it looked nice. And I think that game's out today. Not for the Xbox One, but on PC.
Maybe it is for the Xbox One.
You could buy it and look at it.
Get a box.
I know DualShock controllers are shipping, so maybe games are shipping too. FIFA is weird because, like, before I ever went in, they saw I had a camera, and they were like, okay, you can film anything except FIFA. Which is like, okay. What? Really? It's like, why? And they're like, we can't tell you.
So, man, I've seen some wonderful FIFA bugs.
So,
were there other EA games there?
Battlefield.
Okay, so it wasn't just an EA thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, to get into there, they roped off the FIFA section. They had a big sign saying photography is not allowed. Then they frisked me as I entered.
Wow.
And held my camera
and
went in to play it.
What about videography?
I don't I honestly don't know what they were hiding, because the game seemed okay. It was a soccer game.
That's really weird.
Well, I don't know. They've shipped other versions of FIFA where the players randomly fall through the field sometimes.
Right, right. They're like running folded in half.
Now, let's keep in mind, it is Imran we're talking about. Imran might not know a lot about sports. Are you sure this was soccer? Did they not accidentally program like the basketball game? Did they get confused again?
I will remind you that I lived in England for a little while, so I at least know soccer.
Okay.
It might have been cricket.
That's true. It might have been. Except it didn't last 5 hours, so... But yeah, the FIFA seemed okay. The other thing was they had two tables on each end of the event that had just bags of burritos and cans of Mountain Dew.
Oh God! So that's where I was wondering about those tweets.
Lunch was provided.
So like I tried them together because I figured like, okay, if people are so into Doritos and Mountain Dew, maybe they taste fine together. And no, they taste fucking awful.
Doritos on their own, that's fine. It's chips. It's, you know, whatever.
On their own, they're okay, but like eating a Dorito then drinking Mountain Dew is like, wow, this should not be together.
I don't know that there's much that pairs well with a good Mountain Dew.
Are we sure that they haven't tried the Mountain Dew flavored Dorito yet? I'm almost positive someone has attempted this.
I have seen Mountain Dew cupcakes with Doritos toppings.
Like Dorito, okay. I thought it was like Dorito cupcake with like Mountain Dew cream frosting. Filling. Yeah, frosting.
Do you ever see stuff like that and you go, you can't really like that. You're just doing this to fuck with the rest of us.
They're just so far down the rabbit hole that they've convinced themselves if they combine things they like, it's something they also like.
It's like you're just doing this for the geek reference. You're not even doing this to eat that stuff.
Well, that reminds me, Gamer Fuel is back.
Oh no.
It's Mountain Dew that they brand as Gamer Fuel and release every winter. So like it's supposed to be the thing you pick up with your big game.
Are those gamer snacks still around, like, you know, RTS strategy chocolate? Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that.
It's probably like gamer SNAX.
It was kibble. It was dog food that they just managed to sell to humans.
So the last thing is, there was a DJ in the center of the venue that he was like 40 years old. He looked like Steve Ballmer. Basically, there was all these green lights on him as he played all this somewhat inappropriate music. Like, I mean, it was all like 20-something music you'd hear at a club. But it just seems so weird that this guy who was easily twice my age was playing all this stuff.
Was it Steve Ballmer?
It might have been. I was kind of hoping to see Steve Ballmer there. I know it wasn't like likely. It just, I figured it would be cool.
Was he sweaty? Was he very sweaty, man?
It's hard to tell. Because he was just covered in green lights.
In green lights, yeah.
So one of the things that struck me about your photos was there was something you were taking a picture of, and I have no idea what you were taking a picture of, but there was this wall behind it, and it was all, like, unpainted plywood.
That might have been the Doritos in Mountain Dew.
It was the Doritos shack.
It was, they had, like, just those shaped lights going on it, but the wall itself was, like, a stand-up thing they put for there. It was not a thing that was supposed to be in the venue.
Okie dokie.
It was a stunt wall.
Yeah.
It's kind of expected to see post no bills on it.
It's cool of Microsoft to have a free event like that.
That is cool.
They rented out a fairly large space with enough demo units for everybody, but I don't know. I'm not canceling my PS4 pre-order anytime soon.
Other than Doritos and Mountain Dew, did you get any gear or giveaway stuff?
No, they were giving away like Xbox One T-shirts. And it's funny because like you win them for winning a tournament, and the way the announcer always said it is like, he wins a free Xbox One T-shirt.
Now, were they doing the thing where like they would have the free T-shirts to give away, but they were only like large and extra large, and like 90% of the people would need to like double extra large?
I didn't actually see them, but people there were not like, there were a couple of fatties.
Okay.
But for the most part, everyone was like, if you went to a Vampire Weekend concert, it probably would cross the same demographic barriers.
He's won a new card stock poster.
I would have liked a poster. A poster would have been neat.
Poster's good.
Yep.
So how long were you there for?
About 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And yeah, I took some video that may go up at some point or may not. Yeah,
I want to see it.
Because at some point I just like, the FIFA thing bumped me out, so I stopped taking video, period.
Maybe that was the point.
Yeah. But if you're buying an Xbox One, because it's weird for me because Xbox 360 was my main system this generation, and to go in there and be like, yeah, none of this appeals to me.
Yeah.
Was very strange.
Well, what appeals to them?
It's entirely because you have the PC now. It's like, there's just, and it's hard to see anything on the horizon
Like, it's going to be Titanfall, but Titanfall is going to be the thing that instead of holding my nose and buying an Xbox One, I'm going to hold my nose and install Origin.
And install Origin, yeah. That's exactly the boat I'm in, because Titanfall looks really neat.
And, you know, Titanfall will still run nicer on your PC at a higher resolution.
I don't know. It doesn't have the power of the cloud.
That is a good point. You can get the cloud.
It's got the power of my fucking badass computer.
Sony also has events like this, but their event is like November 17th, 22nd. I'm like, I will already have my PS4 by then.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So that's not well thought out. Oh, well. When I buy an Xbox One eventually, which I will, it's going to happen. I'll get Dead Rising. That was what I came away with from this thing.
What about the Dragon game?
I'd probably play that too.
But just has
that's
downloadable,
that's not,
right?
Like, I can't play that game with a controller. I don't know what happened in the last...
You need to use Kinect and just stand there with your arms out.
No, I mean, like...
Flapping them.
If I had a Wiimote or a mouse, I could play that game. But for some reason, just the idea of, like, steering, and then I tried to invert the controls, and that didn't feel right. I tried to, like, go back to normal, and that didn't feel right. So I don't know what it is about that specific kind of game, but I just... Well,
basically,
I didn't have good control over everything.
Basically, you're painting a cursor around a screen, so
yeah.
You want a mouse for that.
Yeah, I want a mouse or like a Wiimote, like in Sin and Punishment 2. Those things felt more natural to me.
Cool. All right. Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about some things.
Break.
Things!
We are. Unfortunately, we can't show you the real podcast because there's logos and stuff that we can't license out.
But this, that
we can show you a reproduction of a representation of the podcast.
Like somebody might just blurt out Allstate Insurance. And then where would we be?
It's a very good representation.
Yeah.
Allstate doesn't want to be associated with us. What? Fuck you.
They do podcast advertising, not this podcast.
Oh, God,
no.
No.
Fuck that.
Brought
like
to you by
they would pay like us to like represent Geico just to damage Geico probably.
But yeah, if we ever do advertising, I want to write the advertising sections, like the segment.
That would be, I think, the only way that it would be done. That would be fine with me.
Pretty sure they would force us to use like their copy because they paid people.
Well, I'm sure, but I want to do it in like the most hammy infomercial style.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a better way. I heard one of my coworkers today is telling somebody else that, like, I'm going to tell you the big secret to delivering bad news. And in my head, I went, that the government doesn't want you to know.
Right. One weird trick to telling people bad news.
Right, and then you just kind of, like, cut to a, you know, reenactment, just the audio where somebody's going, oh, damn it.
Wearing a Riddler jacket. That would be great. What's his name? Matthew Lesko?
Yeah.
He should go around and like deliver traumatic events.
His son went to my high school.
Did he also wear a Riddler jacket? Except the question marks were smaller.
No, he didn't. But his dad would show up now and again. Like,
was he wearing the Riddler jacket?
Yep. And he drove like a crazy car. Like, that's actually what he's like in real life.
That seems kind of sad, actually. I feel bad now.
I want to know that his wife wears another jacket with this exclamation part.
Right, so it's an interrobang.
So, oh, damn, you stole the joke. I was going to say, when they get together, they interrobang.
Yes, and that's how his son was born.
And you ruined it, Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry. It. So what else have people been playing? I mean, I know there's like the Adam Sessler thing, but I don't know if there's a whole lot that can be talked about it. I missed it because I was busy being a zombie.
Long story short, it seems like he's not getting review hardware until like a day or two before they come out for everybody.
Now, originally, everyone thought that this was some kind of weird the Digital Millennium copyright protection on video feeds.
Well, that's also true, but any video service worth their salt has a stripper.
Yeah.
Like an HTCP stripper, not like a woman who takes off her clothes, but they probably have that too.
So, like, if like you're a Giant Bomb or like you're a Let's Play guy, it's going to be kind of difficult to get any kind of footage out.
And I mean, they'll be able to get footage. Yeah. It's It's worth costing $25 extra.
Yeah, but now Sony or anybody else can just look at that and say, hey, this is a violation of the of our...
But they won't. Yeah. If they didn't do that for the Vita stuff, they're not going to do it for this one.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, are other places getting PS4s earlier?
It seems like it. Like, I saw a thing on Games Radar where they were playing that quiz game on a live stream. So they at least have debug units.
Hmm.
So I don't know what the deal is. Like, maybe it is just them trying to get their stuff out as quickly as possible. But as you're like, if you're a reviewer, that's probably intensely frustrating because that's a lot of games to review, and all that stuff becomes totally moot the morning of launch.
Yep. And think of how many more visits to your site you could get if you space these out over multiple days.
Yeah.
Right.
But then think of how much hype you can create if there's just so many games coming out at once, and they can create the illusion that there's this enormously stocked launch lineup that actually isn't compromised of 90% third-party games that are appearing on the PlayStation 3.
I mean, if you, like, even if it were just the four of us, if we were all reviewing games, like, to review everything in time for the Xbox One and the PS4 launches, we'd each have to split up, like, three games, like, to review. And that if you're doing video reviews, that's a billion times harder.
Is it?
I mean, you have to get the footage and
together. As far as getting footage, yeah.
Yeah, you just can't like just have a guy just talk randomly over video footage.
Like, in that sense, quick looks for launch. That's possible.
Like Giant Bomb's thing of doing quick looks, yeah, that's probably the best idea.
Right.
Because that requires relatively little editing. Just most of that time is probably spent encoding.
But the only time they did that for a launch was Kinect, right?
Well, Wii U as well, and I think the Vita. So they'll probably do it this time. Where
a quick look live stream or something.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point to them doing it for Kinect was that Kinect was kind of a joke anyway. Like, yeah. They didn't take it even remotely seriously, so why?
The entire point of their Kinect review thing was so they could do shit in front of a green screen.
Yeah, and it was goofy and fun, and a lot of the games were complete garbage at Kinect launch.
So apparently there's speculation that Sony is only allowing the videos for reviews that they're going to supply. Was there any truth to that? Because people were also assuming that's what Sessler was freaking out about.
I don't think that's the case. I think it's mostly just time.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, they might be supplying videos for people who can't get review hardware.
Yeah. Like, Rev3 recently lost a reviewer to the comedy button. So it's probably more difficult for them right now than it would be any other time of the year.
It's weird that Sessler doesn't have, like, a more high-profile job.
I don't know. I think he's in charge there, right? Like,
I think he likes where he's at.
It's probably better to be, like, the master of your own domain.
It's just weird because there's only, like, maybe three or four known names within, like, games reviewing. And Sessler had the benefit of being on G4. It was G4, right?
Yeah,
it was X-Play. Tech TV, G4.
Yeah. Like, he was, like, the only recognizable person to ever come away from that. It seems like he should be a bigger... Like, I don't know, maybe because it's just the circles we run around in. It seems like he should be as big as the Giant Bomb guys.
Well, it sounds like he really wanted to work. He didn't want to work under a boss anymore.
Okay.
And that's completely understandable, especially with the frustrations that exist in, like, the politics of video games.
I mean, is he not? I mean, I think he's...
Well, that's what
I mean. Well, I mean, he probably works under a boss that understands him, or he's high enough up enough that he can, like, you know, plead his case easily.
Yeah, he's not such a huge name. Well, he is a well-known name, and his opinion carries a lot of weight, but he's also usually not that controversial.
Yeah.
So you don't really see people get all inflamed about his opinions, because he has a good way of explaining them.
He seems like such a decent human being, and it really harms his professional career.
He's the anti-Ben Kuchera.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's a pretty good way of putting that. Oh, man. I wonder if he still does Sessler Soapbox.
He does sometimes.
He does Sessler Fifth Something, segment. Which yeah. is sort of the same thing.
So, like, you know of Sessler less than you know of, like, a great many YouTube guys. It's like, you probably know Sessler less than you do PewDiePie. Or...
That's not this. It's I mean, pretty opposite for me. I mean, Sessler's one of the bigger ones for at least
I mean, you respect his opinion.
Yeah.
but he's not as relevant.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I've never heard that relevant. Name you
just said.
I feel like Mark is like busting on Adam Sessler a lot today.
My first hearing of Pew Pew Die or whatever was from his, what, he picked some Humble Bundle games or Good Old Games. That's all I know.
I think he's actually like the most prolific YouTuber period. Yeah. He has more subscribers than anyone.
He can actually defeat a fair number of cable channels with his subscriber base.
Huh.
He's the Duck Dynasty of YouTube.
Well,
I actually have no idea what Duck Dynasty is. I think my dad watches it, and that was like one of those moments like, I don't want to know any more about this ever.
It's a bunch of really like typical backwoods guys, but they made a fortune because they make and sell really great duck whistles.
Yeah.
All I know is apparently they're like super into Jesus and guns. I know this entirely because of my Facebook feed. Apparently if you try to take this one guy's Jesus or his guns away, there's going to be trouble. And he looks like a crazed hillbilly, so not going to fuck with his guns or his Jesus.
I literally see a billboard on the way to work of one of those guys that says, "Hey Jack, buy my book."
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
No, you're not Jack. So
and from what I've heard, they all have smoking hot wives as well.
Well, they are super rich.
But they are.
Wow,
they are super
Imran.
Rich.
Wow.
It's funny because I think like...
I have a terrible human being. We're talking about gold diggers. Huh?
We're not saying that all women are
gold diggers, but they could certainly find five to go around the family.
That does not cross or like stay on gender lines.
Yeah.
Gold diggers can be any gender.
Yeah, I mean,
Could be love.
Were you considering whether or not you would be a gold digger, Ryan?
Me? No, God, no.
Maybe, I don't know. Money does sound pretty good.
My wife's parents think she married me, or at one point think that she married me for my money, for my family's money, for the large swaths of money we have.
For the Belita fortune.
Yeah, the Belita fortune.
Did you notice that was in South American dollars?
Yeah, right, yeah, in... Yeah, Greek lira, Rome, something.
Now it's all in bitcoins. It's useless.
Bitcoin fortune.
What have you been playing?
I have been playing. I played the Stanley Parable for a little bit yesterday or the day before or something.
So without spoiling it, how awesome is that game?
It's really good. The writing is really, really good.
The best writing in a long, long while.
It's so fucking spot on. It's unbelievable. Like they just hit the nail on the head on so many kind of gaming things.
Well, not just gaming things, but just like stuff about weird, like corporate life, about being a corporate drone and human actions.
Of the writing. Huh? What's the tone of the writing?
Like, it's funny. It's very funny and
dry.
Dry.
Okay.
I know Ryan Bloom, he left a comment on the last podcast about the elevator pitch for that game. And he said, paraphrasing another friend, he says, it's like Portal minus the puzzles.
I guess. Here's the elevator pitch for this game. There's an elevator in this game. It's hidden. You have to find it. So you summon the elevator, and you get on the elevator, and then you press the button for the elevator. And then you hang on the elevator for like 5 minutes. And then you realize this elevator isn't going anywhere. So you hit the button and you're right back in the office that you came from. That's the elevator pitch for this game.
It's okay. So there are many branching paths, and each branching path has the narrator saying something that is so spot on about that path that you've just gone down. So that there are apparently, I don't know how many different endings, Mark, did you were telling me?
I played it like, if I had to guess without going to my Steam profile, I'd say I have like 4 hours into it. I've come across 8 endings that I can remember directly off the top of my head. There may be a couple others.
And these aren't just different endings. I mean, these are like different diverging paths. You have to remember that.
Yeah, they're different diverging paths. And some of them are just like really, like anything you can get to an end point. Like there are a couple examples where there are places where you can die. And then the narrator laughs at you for
right. I have to say that there's not really a whole lot that you can spoil about this game. I mean, yes, you kind of want to go into it
like,
if you don't know what you're expecting,
okay, so there's no story.
It's a little bit better.
Here's the thing. There's no story to this game. There's like a dozen little stories to this game that open up as you play along that branch, but there's no like canonical ending. There's no canonical story. Every little branch is its own little universe, and they have very little to do with each other aside from being in the same setting.
Yeah, I mean, it's less of a game to tell a story and more of a game to explore human nature and the nature of video gamers and how they play. I mean, like I wouldn't be spoiling much by telling you that there's a point where like it perfectly represents and recreates a Minecraft world.
Yeah.
It just thrusts you into a Minecraft world. It's like, oh, maybe you would like this game more. And it's brilliant. Like that point, I just had this huge kind of open mouth grin on my face the entire time.
Some of it's just pure out brilliance. So the stuff you've never like even thought imaginable inside a video game because it's so clever. The problem is like getting to those points. It's like you're the first like minute or so of the game is always going to be the same. It's like you're going down this hallway and then a lot of it is tedium because you're trying to find these different branching paths. And a lot of the different branching paths are stuff you would never think of to do until you just start messing around with the game world or like just standing in a specific spot because you think you something will happen if you do this.
See, I've only gotten to like one ending. I only went fully flushed out one path. Like I go down a path and if I, you know, hit a dead end or died, like I just jumped off a crane lift just to see what would happen. I would just say, okay, I did that. And then I'll go down another path, and if that path offers me two, I just kept going down one until I hit an ending. So I'm gonna keep doing that because it's very short. Like I think my first playthrough was 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, and you know the
and about 5 or 6 minutes of that was getting an achievement.
And you know none of the humor is like the bullshit, like the cake is a lie humor. It's all it's smart. It's stuff you've never seen before. Although some of it does play, it's self-aware. It knows it's a video game.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, the narrator knows you're in a video game, but despite that, the game never becomes like too clever. The game never like travels upon well-worn tropes of the video game industry. It's like you don't start collecting things, and then your guy comments on all these stupid collectibles. Aren't they dumb? They never do that. It's too smart for that.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a little weird that you know everyone was like, oh, don't spoil the Stanley. And there's not a lot to spoil. It's a collection of different stories that you play through, and they're hilarious, and the writing is excellent, and they touch on so many things that are spot on. It's wonderful, and it really warrants playing.
It's not a bunch of different stories, just a bunch of different little experiences. And I would say that a lot of the experiences you need to like come in fresh too. So just, you know, drop the $15. I think Imran and Nat, you already own it, right?
No, not yet.
All right, well,
I started it installing right before the podcast.
Oh,
right.
Cool.
It's worth it. I mean,
it really is.
A lot of people want to compare it to like Gone Home, and I wanted to compare it with and start it. It's absolutely nothing like Gone Home. Only that it's like it's first person and you can't shoot anything. That's it. But
you can kill a baby.
You can kill a baby in a horrible, horrible way that didn't happen in Gone Home, but you can do it in this game, so it's the better game.
Mark hates babies, man.
God, I hate babies so much.
So you should definitely do that. But let's see, other than that, I haven't started anything new. No, I still haven't. I need to start Bioshock Infinite. I need to do that.
God,
like,
Danny, tonight. What's wrong with you?
I've been really enjoying just kind of, well,
you've been playing your stupid golf games instead of doing things that are important.
Fuck you. You're just mad that you can't get that wrestling card game.
Oh, God, I wish I had that wrestling card game.
Yeah, so that's it for me. Mark, I mean, other than the Stanley Parable.
Stanley Parable, let me see. I'm pretty sure I played Dust some more, I guess. I've been playing some Civ 5, but not mainly like this weekend. I just really got into the Stanley Parable.
Yeah, I was really busy most of this weekend, so I didn't get to do much. Imran?
Let's see. I finished Pokemon. And that game, I by the end of the game, I was like, okay, I'm just going to move forward to the Elite Four and I'm going to finish this off.
Yeah.
And it's Like, the complaints I had about the not having a real boss fight still hold true towards the end, but it does get decently harder. Mm-hmm. As long as I don't attempt to overpower it, like, if I don't actively go out of my way to get stronger.
If you don't then, min-max the game.
Yeah. Okay. Then the Elite Four was... Because I went in, I was like, I don't even need to save. I'm just going to not buy items, just go in. And the first Elite Four I fought was the Fire Elite Four, and she took out four of my Pokemon.
Oh, wow.
I was like, huh, maybe I need to play this a little bit more carefully.
So is there much to do once you beat the game?
I don't know, because immediately after I finished it, I went to Ace Attorney 5.
Okay.
How is that working out for you?
I've only played a bit of the first day, our first trial, and it's presentation-wise, it's amazing. Like, honestly, probably some of the best 3D models I've seen, period. Like, in terms of animation, like, they made 3D models look exactly like a sprite.
That's cool.
And it's insane. But I don't have enough, like, time with the game to comment on story or anything like that.
Here's my question. Why would they need 3D models? Because you're not, like, moving around in an overworld or anything like that, right?
You do move around for investigation portions. You do move around.
Okay.
So, but I think they just moved to 3D models because they decided it was time to go that direction. Mm. Like, sprite-based stuff is not an easy sell.
Right.
So, and probably because, like, it scales easier when you inevitably put it on the iPad.
That's a good point. Yeah. And now that you have the power with the 3DS, you might as well go ahead.
Yeah.
Try to make it look nice.
But I mean, if they had gone 3D models and it looked worse than sprites, I'd be up in arms about it. But it looks as good or better, which surprises me because I love sprites. So
it's just a shame that they made this linear adventure game.
Mm-hmm. Imran Khan hates Mountain Dew, loves sprites.
I get it. Yeah, there was that IGN review that complained about, oh, you're reading text for 6 minutes. It's like,
yeah,
I don't.
It is Ace Attorney.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what game they were. Like, I can understand reviewing to the audience for some extent, but like, the people who look into Ace Attorney 5 are not going to be people who are new to the series. Really, they're people who like know what they're getting into.
Yeah. If you're reading text for 6 minutes, I hope you actually read it instead of just hitting skip.
So yeah. Imran, that said, I have not played an Ace Attorney game before. If I wanted to play 5, just like pick it up on a whim, I mean, would that be an okay game to go into it in?
You're gonna lose a lot of, because the strength of that game is characters.
The characters, sure.
Yeah, and it's pretty consistent over the last 4 or 5 games. So you're gonna lose a lot of it's that character. So
what you're saying is I should go back and play the previous ones.
If you can get them on DS, I like those versions the best, but. The iOS versions are on iOS. They're not the worst thing in the world, but they're not as good as the DS versions.
Like, in what way?
The font's really bad. The sprites don't look as good because they redrew them. Yeah. There's a really... Anyone who's played a third game will know what I'm talking about. There's a scene where two sprites move at the same time, but they're not synced up in the iOS version, so it just looks really goofy.
Any chance they're going to put out a compilation disc on the 3DS?
So it's really weird, but WiiWare has all of them. Huh. And those versions are actually pretty good. They redid the music, but it's a little blown up because it's on WiiWare and not a DS.
Okay.
So
I'll just play it on a really small screen.
Yeah. So either like DS version, I personally think that's perfectly fine. But if you can't do that, iOS version is good enough. And WiiWare version, if you don't mind sitting in front of a TV to play all these games, then
that works. iOS is certainly convenient for me. Yeah. I mean, I have an iPhone. It's easy to pull out and play at some point. So,
Does the Wii version work on the Wii U?
WiiWare games, so yes, it should.
Okay.
You'd have to go to the Wii mode, quote unquote, which is just basically a Wii inside the system. But yeah.
You played on the pad when you do that?
No.
On the screen, on the pad, rather.
You can play it on the pad, but you can't use the gamepad to control it.
Yeah, you have to like point a Wii remote at your gamepad.
Or I forget
why?
How.
Why?
Because all they did was make it so the Wii recognizes the gamepad as an external monitor. They didn't actually like. I think you'd have to do some pretty heavy reprogramming for that.
Actually, I just wish that if you had like one Wii remote plugged in and a classic controller, that it would also map the buttons to the classic controller. Like, that would be awesome. But
I feel like the big stumbling block there is that the gamepad doesn't communicate via Bluetooth. So the Wii would have to be looking for something it can't find.
No, but there is a sort of emulation layer, in a sense, going on there. something that has to manage the interface between the Wii U hardware and the Wii OS.
You know, all this sounds suspiciously like work, and Nintendo's not going to do that.
I feel like the reason they did this in the first place is because they were probably working on something else, and like this just sort of happened.
Well, they must have had this in mind, because keep in mind, the Wii Remote works with the gamepad, because there's a sensor bar in the gamepad.
Yeah, but I feel like that's more for like Pikmin 3 kind of things, where you can point at the gamepad.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this has probably been part of the plan all along, just, you know, not a very important part of the plan, so they put it off.
Like, I can see case uses for it, like, if I want to take, if I'm playing The Last Story, and I just want to take my system, a gamepad, and a Wiimote with me, I can do that, but that's really rare, and also it probably sounds like one too many things.
Well, I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles that way whenever my wife was using the TV. I mean, it's clumsy, but it'll work.
Yeah. Like, if they had, like, output to, you know, a bigger tablet or something, it would probably be a lot better. But
the
well.
The screen's a good enough size, except that you can't hold it like you would a portable system.
Yeah. You have to have it, like, in a cradle or something.
Yeah, and then it's just too far away.
Right. Speaking of Wii U games, I also heard of Lego City Stories. Lego City Undercover.
Lego City Undercover. Yeah. Okay.
So that game is kind of funny sometimes, and a lot of other times it's trying really, really hard.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of hit or miss references.
Yeah. Like, there's one scene where they're just throwing every cop movie reference at you that they can manage. And some of them are funny and some of them aren't.
Which is weird because that's supposed to be targeted at kids, right? They're not going to understand, like, Dirty Harry lines in a movie.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Like, there's a pretty direct Shawshank Redemption reference, which I'm positive kids aren't going to understand.
Whoa. Yeah.
There's a pretty good tradition of kids' cartoons putting adult jokes in so that the adults in the room also have fun.
Like I've been watching Simpsons all my life, and then when I went back and rewatched the entire series recently, I was like, wow, I didn't get that joke at all when I was a kid. And so I can see a couple kids doing that these days. Like Adventure Time and stuff like that. Those are things that, like, those have quote unquote adult humor or smarter humor than kids are used to.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be something that, like, it's for the parents watching and the stoners who watch on their own.
Well, there's a lot of stuff like that where the jokes are really for the older people.
Yeah.
The idea that there are cops made of Legos is good enough for kids to find that funny.
So the problem with, like, everything being made of Legos is that I have OCD, and you get these little bricks that come out of, like, when you disassemble things. So I can't go anywhere because I'm just disassembling everything all the time. So, I'm 3 hours into the game, but that's, like, the first mission.
Because you disassemble, no disassemble.
Yeah, I mean, if I just walk up to everything and hit Y and keep, like, if it didn't give me things, then I wouldn't do it. Like, that's the trigger that makes me, constantly hitting everything.
Well, I'd equate it to playing Saints Row 4 and, you know, spending 4 hours before I beat the first three missions because every time I saw an orb or whatever, I had to go get it. And then, there's another one. Oh, a piece of candy.
Ooh, I don't know, like, why that didn't hit, like, trigger it for me, but I was able to, I only got orbs that, like, I saw or that I could make a reasonable guess that I would be back here later.
Well, the problem with the orbs in Saints Row 4 is that at the beginning, once you get the jump power, they have you in, like, a neighborhood where there's one on, like, every rooftop.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I can just jump from rooftop to rooftop to rooftop to rooftop.
So some of it is training the person a little bit, maybe.
I think at some point I prize momentum over orbs. So, like, I could break my stride and go get this, or I could just keep going because it's fun.
Yeah, I would try to, like, you know, tie them, you know, maybe divert my path a little bit and grab one or two.
Yeah, that was generally my line. If I had to stop to get it, then probably
it was annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that it for you playing?
Yes, I think so. I bought Puppeteer on sale, but I haven't played it yet.
What is Puppeteer?
It's a Sony PS3 game that, It's a 2D platformer where the entire conceit is everything's a puppet show being played. You should look up footage because it looks really nice.
Yeah, I seem to remember. Excuse me.
Sorry.
All right, Matt Pierce.
That's a Sony game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a funny story. In getting ready for Game of the Year and GameStop having a buy two get one free sale, I dropped $100 on The Last of Us, Beyond Two Souls, and BioShock Infinite. So
it's not bad haul.
Yeah,
not bad.
So you're gonna be ready for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
So I didn't open any of those, and instead I played Xenoblade Chronicles all week.
Man, I think you have a problem.
Yeah, you do.
I tried to play some Gran Turismo, but they are doing a Lamborghini event, and they have a problem with Lamborghini events where they'll limit you to 550 performance points and then make all of your opponents 575. So you get passed in every straightaway, and you just can't keep up. I don't know why they do that, but it's only when they have Lamborghinis in the mix.
They should make an open-world Gran Turismo just for you.
No, they shouldn't.
They made that game. It was called Gran Turismo Test Drive. Test Drive.
What's a Horizon? It wasn't.
And Drive Club was delayed. I mean,
I quite like Burnout Paradise, honestly.
Yeah.
But maybe because it's so arcadey, that probably helped.
Yeah. So Xenoblade Chronicles, I finally got up to where I lost my save. It has a weird problem with pacing where it'll tell you that you have to go do something because somebody is in trouble. And then getting to them to rescue them takes another hour of gameplay.
It's urgent.
So for like right now, the Emperor is on Prison Island for something, and you have to get there. Now, of course, the Emperor made it to Prison Island without incident. You have to go take on hordes of enemies to unlock two seals to open the door to get to Prison Island. But to do that, you probably want to level up for 2 hours first because those enemies are really tough. But it's like, now you should put the leveling in between urgent things. You know, let me jump from urgent thing to urgent thing. But maybe, you know, once the story hits a lull, that's where you put all your leveling.
See, it's interesting in JRPGs now because like Pokemon, I've never had to worry about leveling, and that kind of worked out because I could just go forward, but also at the same time it made everything really easy. And like the other JRPG I played recently was Tales of Xillia, and the battles are the main point in that game. I'm fighting enemies because I want to. And I feel like other JRPGs are having a hard time getting that part right. Like they're not understanding that grinding should be something that either we just completely don't have to worry about, or leveling in general should be something not worried about, or it should be something incentivized by fun gameplay mechanics.
The leveling in the game is kind of unnecessary, but it makes things just easier on you. Once you get to the boss of whatever area you're in, it's almost guaranteed they're going to be a much higher level than you, and you'll have to, you know, you'll just barely make it through the fight. But that'll kind of bring you up to the next plateau for the next part of the game. So all that leveling really does is kind of help you a little bit with some of the earlier fights in the dungeon. But the game has this whole affinity system between the members of your team. And the more they like each other, the better they work as a unit. So that's usually what you're grinding. It also opens up different branches in the story. So it's not experience points that you need to grind. It's affinity points.
See, I've never liked that sort of system in RPGs, because once you do that, you're encouraged not to like bring in other characters. You kind of have your team, and then that team hangs out forever.
It depends on how it works. I liked it in Dragon Age, where you could not possibly make everyone happy at once, so I just rotated people out constantly.
This game, you're intended to make everybody in your team like everybody else in your team. But as far as I can tell, there's only 8 ever. So, like, and you don't have a choice of when they come in and when they go out.
How many characters can you have in your team at any time?
You can do combat with 3, but they're all with you. So you can swap them out in between any 2 battles. But
yeah, I should definitely play that game at some point. Like if they had done the, like we talked about earlier, like actual Wii U gamepad control, it would have been played by now immediately. Yeah.
But it is a really good game. It's incredibly long. And it may be tough for you if you have OCD, because I shit you not, I have 80 open side missions right now. It's insane. And a lot of them is like, go talk to so-and-so, but nobody is marked and you don't know where anyone is. So you just got to like walk up to random people to find out if they're so-and-so.
I like how Japanese devs picked up the worst lessons possible from Western RPGs. It's like, I don't want this. I just want a simple, nice, straightforward story in my JRPG, not all this other crap that's going to take 50 hours to complete.
Well, I'll tell you this. They got loading and fast travel right. Okay. So you'll go into Colony 6 is a colony that gets destroyed early in the game. Before you ever get to it, it's just kind of part of the plot. And when you get there, after you beat up the soldiers that are there, they try to rebuild the colony. So one of the side, like, big overarching side things is that you can help them rebuild the colony. And if you do, like, they'll get shops that have rare items and all sorts of other story points that you can do. But you'll go in there, it's like, well, we need these resources to build them up, and you can get them by defeating enemies in this area. So you just warp straight there, beat a bunch of them up, and then warp straight back to the colony and hand them over.
So this has nothing to do with anything, but I'm reading a story right now that the guy who played Adam Jensen in Deus Ex, or Human Revolution.
Yeah, I heard about this.
The voice actor?
Yeah, he was originally the voice for Jason Brody in Far Cry 3. And at the very last second, Ubisoft changed the voice because they were afraid people would be confused.
That he was too recognizable of a voice.
Yeah, it's kind of suck. They could have had like their own Nolan North kind of guy. You know, just
don't they all just sound like super gruff?
Like Jason Brody sounds like a douchebag college student.
Yeah, he sounds like a college student. Yeah.
Okay. Every game I've played recently has had like a super gruff guy.
It's usually what it is.
I think it's funny that Troy Baker played both the main character in Last of Us and the main character in Bioshock Infinite, and they're essentially the same character.
I'll find out when I start Bioshock Infinite. Which I'll do soon, Mark.
Start as soon as you finish this.
I promise. All right.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Later.
See you guys.
Bye.